Stay tuned for Cinema Clash with Charlie and Hannah, featuring two film critics with distinctly different tastes in movies, Charlie Jewell of CharlieJewell.com and Hannah Buchdahl of ChickFlix.net. He thinks her tastes are shallow. She thinks his are pretentious. Listen in as they discuss and debate new releases and other film-related topics.
Hello and welcome to the Cinema Clash. I am Charlie Jewell of CharlieJewell.com.
And I'm Hannah Buchdahl of ChickFlix.net.
Hannah, you just got done coughing after you tasted the wine I provided this evening.
La Fiera. And am I supposed to actually read the
Montepulciano d'Abruzzo.
Yes.
From Italy.
From Italy. And it's quite dry. I don't know. But so what does that go with?
What do you see? Well, what's on the bottle?
A horse. Mm. And so, I don't know. We saw a movie about dragons.
All right.
Or maybe we're going to pick some dark horses.
Oh, that's a very good
for the Oscars?
It's not what I was going for, but it kind of ties in. I was going for, there's a horse race.
Okay.
Yeah, for Best Picture. Many years, Best Picture's already sewn up the weekend before the Oscars, but not this year. Mm-hmm. And oh, but I love the dark horse,
which we'll also get
into. So this episode, we're going to discuss one wide release, this weekend's biggest release, in DreamWorks animated How to Train Your Dragon 3,
The Hidden World.
And then we're going to talk Oscars, specifically who will win, who should win.
Who might win, who we wish would win.
Who I can't believe is nominated.
What I can't believe is still not nominated.
And then next week, we'll revisit our picks through crocodile tears.
That's right.
But first, let's talk about what they say is the final film in the trilogy, where I say if it makes enough money, it won't.
That's exactly what I say as well.
The final film in the trilogy. I was watching Conan the other night, and on Conan was Jay Baruchel. Jay Baruchel voices Hiccup, the new chief of the Viking clan, the village of Berk. And Conan asked a question that I was thinking. Is this the film? Finally, is this the film where they're going to teach us how to train our dragon? Because I have a dragon sitting in my back porch here, and they haven't taught me how to train him yet.
And 3 does not teach you how to train a dragon. It's more like how to train a dragon in courtship, perhaps.
There is a love interest, and it's a perfect reason if you want to distract a dragon. You have to appeal to his natural instincts, and one way to do that is to introduce a lady.
Yes, the Light Fury Dragon.
Well, I called the plot, the storyline of The Hidden World, stock, because it was very, okay, here's the beginning of the movie, and one character kind of lays out, right, spoon-feeds you the themes. Theme number one, you rely too much on your dragons and not enough on yourself. Okay, I wonder if they'll revisit that and maybe solve that by the end. You're focusing too much on problems out there and not enough on in here. Maybe that will come back to bite you in the end. And it's just very...
I don't know. I disagree.
Very on the nose.
I think it was actually a rather satisfying conclusion to what has been this 3-part coming-of-age story. And so it's the conclusion of this coming-of-age for both Hiccup and for the dragon Toothless.
Yeah.
That he's been sort of, that he's developed this friendship with over the past now 9 years, I think. And so it's important. I did not see the first one. Or if I did, I did not remember seeing it. I did not particularly, and that was in 2010. I did not particularly like the second one, which was in 2014, because I actually found it quite dark and too scary for little kids. And so I was pleasantly surprised to like this one well enough. It's still not my favorite franchise, but I actually think that it does a very nice job of potentially wrapping up this story. And from what I heard, it's sort of going back to, it sort of ends where the books by Cressida Cowell started, which is where you've got this adult, what's his name? Hiccup. Does he have a real name later?
That is his real name.
What kind of name is Hiccup?
It's Viking.
Anyway, the adult Hiccup is sort of reflecting back on a time when there was this coexistence, this world that that also had this peaceful coexistence with all these dragons. And so that's kind of where this film goes. So I was perfectly content with how this film wrapped up. And for somebody who didn't really embrace the first two, I was pleasantly surprised by this one, and I think most fans will be okay with how it resolves.
I do believe this will go down easy with audiences. You mentioned human and dragon peace, coexistence, and what felt for me like a recycled storyline is in the previous film, they had to overcome the evil dragon hunter, the trapper, and they did. Mm-hmm. And this one, they have to overcome the evil dragon hunter, yeah. The trapper. This guy, this time, he's Grimmel the Grizzly, voiced by best actor winner F. Murray Abraham. Mm-hmm. And he's the antithesis of Hiccup. They are polar opposites, different ends of the spectrum. Grimmel says humans outrank dragons on the species ladder. Therefore, we lord dominion over dragons. He wants to wipe them out. He wants to make them extinct. We cannot coexist. We're natural enemies. And Hiccup believes the exact opposite of all of that. No, just chill out, man. We can live with dragons peacefully. So they're going to have to come to a reckoning. Hiccup's mother, who revealed herself in the second film, Valka, voiced by Cate Blanchett, completely useless here.
Yeah,
completely
she doesn't
wasted.
Have anything to do here.
I don't know what she's doing here. What I did like the most about this movie are the graphics, the visuals. DreamWorks Animation takes its time, it takes a break from the story, and you can watch Toothless and the Light Fury soaring through the clouds and playing with lightning. And then when they get to the hidden world and they're flying around the dragon realm, that is gorgeous business right there. It's better than anything from the first two films. This will never rank in the top 3 to 5 best animated franchises ever. It's just a good animated franchise. It's never going to be anyone's favorite.
Right. To me, it had an attempt at that same type of emotional resonance that the Toy Story movies have, but without even coming close to reaching that level. But that same kind of vibe of trying to, you know, you kind of are able to see the path of these characters and the other, you know, sort of underutilized character I thought in this film too was the Viking warrior friend love interest voiced by America Ferrera as Astrid. I just would have liked to see a little more with Astrid in this one before they
Yeah, she's got nothing to do
goodbye.
Either. They replaced TJ Miller, who was one of the twins. I think he was Tough Nut. They replaced him because of his off-screen issues. I did not know that his sister Rough Nut was Kristen Wiig. Didn't sound like her at all.
But she's, I liked, you know, she's funny.
She gets her scene.
The twins get their scenes, and I think they're little scene stealers in the moment. But so, yeah, you're right. It's rather stock, but I still think it's solid.
And you know how every now and then, about once a month, you can say, and on this film, I know the editor, blah, blah, blah. And on this film, I know the blah, blah, blah. Because you know people in the industry.
Sometimes.
I don't know anybody in the industry. But now I'm going to throw down.
Who do you know?
I know Joshua. I don't know Joshua Gunther. I am second degree with Joshua Gunther, the rough layout artist. He is the rough layout. He's got an IMDb credit on
who
this.
Who knew there was a rough
because
layout
Because I know
artist.
His brother, John Gunther. We were buddies in college together.
Wow.
We went to college together.
There
and,
you go.
I saw that his brother, he shouted him out on Facebook. He said, hey, my brother's got a movie release. And he's like, ooh, 2 degrees. I'm going to claim
claim it. And we should also claim that we attempted to figure out how the director's name is pronounced. He is a Canadian. And so I am going to say that the writer-director of all three of these, and I think it actually has helped that it was the same person helming all three, that kind of helped keep the tone and just tie it all together. But yeah, that would be Dean Debois is how I'm saying it's pronounced.
You sure it's not Dean DeBlaus?
Well, I mean, it's it looks like it would be Debois if it didn't have the L before the OIS. And so I am going to then go with the Wikipedia pronunciation, which seems to indicate it's Dean Debois, but everyone's welcome to correct us if we're wrong.
Well, he was the man behind Lilo and Stitch, came out at a time where I didn't have kids yet, so I didn't see it. And he also got his start working under Don Bluth, famous name, the man who behind The Land Before Time, a film that seared itself on my early childhood memory.
Ah, look at you. All right.
All right, let's jump to the Oscars. And
are those this weekend?
They are Sunday, by the way. You may have heard some squabbles about it on Twitter, on Facebooks, people fighting about what's going to be included, what's not, who's going to be there, who won't. And I don't know, how about we just name a category, and do you want to start with who will win or who should win?
I'm going to kind of go with, well, let's start with, I feel like I need a little buzzer. I'm going to start with Best Actress, because I think that's my easiest pick of the bunch. I'm going to say Glenn Close should win and will win for The Wife.
I disagree. 50%. She will win. She will win. And I also think it's a Lifetime Achievement Award. I don't think she is the best actress this year, but they're going to give it to her because, what, this is her sixth, seventh nomination? She's never won. She didn't win for Fatal Attraction. But it should go to Olivia Colman from The Favorite playing Queen Anne.
I watched all of these nominees, and Glenn Close is still and comes across in this role as the best actress of the bunch.
Meh.
All right, your turn.
Actor in a supporting role.
Go for it.
Will win. Mahershala Ali, Green Book. I'm very stuck on this one because I don't actually like any of them. But if I had a vote, and I do not, I would pick Sam Elliott from A Star Is Born merely for the scene in the pickup truck, at the end.
Absolutely. That is my favorite Sam Elliott scene too, in the truck. And he does do what a really good supporting actor is supposed to do, and he just elevates every scene that he's in, and quietly does so. But Mahershala Ali really is this shouldn't be a supporting actor role. He and Viggo Mortensen really had essentially the same weight in their performances. But because this is the category that Mahershala Ali was relegated to, I will say that I love them all. I love Richard E. Grant is very good in Can You Ever Forgive Me, and he has possibly some momentum going right now.
You mentioned Dark Horse earlier. Richard E. Grant is a Dark Horse, and I would not raise my eyebrows if he won.
Right, exactly.
So I would raise my eyebrows if either Adam Driver or Sam Rockwell won.
Yeah. This is one where Sam Rockwell, I don't think, needs to win this category. But yes, I'll go for supporting actor. I will give the edge, without a doubt, to Mahershala Ali.
All right.
And then I'm going to go right from there to Best Director. I think that's another easy pick for who will win. But this is sort of tied. This is one where I would almost tie it also to Best Foreign Film, because I think Best Director will hands down go to Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. But I also just would give Roma Best Foreign Film with the hope that it doesn't get Best Picture.
Alfonso Cuarón will win Best Director. Part of me wants it to go to Spike Lee as a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Exactly, yes.
But if I had a vote, if I say who actually was the best director this year, I would give it to Yorgos Lanthimos.
Of course you
for
would.
For The Favorite. Foreign language film will be Roma. In fact, that's just sewn up. Just go ahead and give it to him.
But I got to tell you, I mean, I hope.
And I agree with that, by the way. I think Roma is this year's best foreign film.
And to me, it's my least favorite foreign film, but I hope it wins.
You like Cold War more than Roma?
I did. Good I liked Lord. All four. I liked all of them more than Roma. But knowing that Roma has all that marketing power behind it and so many, it's a critical darling for so many, I do give it by far the edge. But I just truly believe it can get Best Foreign Film. But I'll also tell you, early on in the show, if by some bizarre coincidence or something happened where Roma did not win Best Foreign Film,
oh, don't be ridiculous,
then there's absolutely no way it could be Best Picture, because how could you possibly say,
Hannah, that, what are you even making this argument
I
for?
I don't know.
It's going to win Best
I
Foreign
still
Film.
I'm just pissed off that it's in Best Picture category.
Yeah, you just had an off day the day you saw that movie. Best Original Score. I like all five nominees, except not so much Mary Poppins Returns. I like Black Panther, Black Klansman, If Beale Street Could Talk, and Isle of Dogs. Mm-hmm. What should win, and what I think will win, both of them, is If Beale Street Could Talk. Nicholas Britell, he was nominated for Moonlight.
Yeah.
He's worked with Barry Jenkins a number of times now. And the strings and how they just carry scenes that don't have a lot of dialogue in them is astounding.
I'm in agreement with you on that one. I give the edge to If Beale Street Could Talk as well. And then we'll just go right from there to Best Original Song. If it were anything but Shallow, I think everybody would just fall off their chairs.
However, Kendrick Lamar and SZA are not going to perform All the Stars, which I really wanted to see. It appears someone tweeted at us and said they got someone else to do it. I'm really looking forward to watching Jillian Welch perform When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings. I guess The Shallow is my favorite song, but it's a hair's breadth ahead of All the Stars.
I think it's so far ahead because it's so integral to the film, and that's what an original song is really supposed to be. And so I liked several of the songs from A Star Is Born. So the fact that Shallow is really the only one represented there, I think it just has to win because it really does, it powers the film.
Best Documentary Feature. This, I think, is the hardest. I think this is the hardest one for me. I've only seen 4 of the 5 because my link expired for Of Fathers and Sons, so I haven't seen that one. What I think should win is actually Minding the Gap. It was at AFI, and because it's just a movie about a guy's 3 best friends post-high school figuring out their romantic lives and their work lives should not be this intriguing, but it is, because there are themes about child abuse and
domestic abuse.
Yeah, just a lot of abuse going on. But my
manhood.
What I think will win is tricky, because Minding the Gap has a crazy amount of buzz right now. People believe it's a race, it's a horse race between RBG and Free Solo. Mm-hmm. It won't be Hale County. I'm actually going to put, this is the one, you know, if you want to win your Oscar pool, you got to do one crazy thing. I would put Will Win Minding the Gap.
I don't think that's such a stretch, because I have that as my very well could win. I have RBG as the most likely, just because I think it didn't hurt that people were so scared to death when she had her recent brush with health. And so I think there might be a girl power, you go RBG. The vote will be for her survival more so than for the documentary itself. I too did not see A Fathers and Sons. I haven't heard anything about it. So I'm just thinking.
Therefore, it'll probably win.
Yeah, so that's one where if it wins, I'm just going to be like, oh, okay. The good thing about Minding the Gap is that there's so much opportunity for people to see it, you know, either on Hulu or at PBS.org. You can go and watch it. And it was part of the POV PBS series. And so that's how I saw it last week. And I was really impressed at how the filmmaker could have taken, like, 10 to 12 years of footage and figured out a way to just make the story track. And the skateboarding stuff, even though it only makes up a small percentage of the film, is very cool to watch. And so it is. It's very good. So this is a really tough one because for me, Free Solo is only great for that last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Where you are just absolutely enthralled and glued to the edge of your seat watching this free climb. But I didn't really care for the character or for the previous 75 minutes of that film. Hale County this morning, this evening, didn't really do it for me. So
I remember I said, it's too experimental for me. And you said, if it's too experimental for you,
then it's really experimental for me. And so I will say, I'm going to go out on a limb with this one and say, I'm going to say RBG. And I would not be surprised if Minding the Gap snuck in there.
Yeah.
All right. So then I am going to then skip ahead to this. I think original screenplay is a really tough category this year. I am hoping for Green Book, but I would not be terribly surprised if The Favorite snuck in there. But Green Book would be my pick for original screenplay.
And the best original screenplay of the year wasn't nominated. Bo Burnham for Eighth Grade.
That's true.
What will win is Green Book. Nick Vallelonga is going to take, and Peter Farrelly are going to take home an Oscar for that. It's just kind of set in stone, I believe.
I
think the smart money is on Green Book.
Yeah.
I don't, because I think it should go to Deborah Davis and Tony McNamara for the favorite.
Of course.
But
I knew you would.
I would love to see Paul Schrader win for First Reformed as more of a Lifetime Achievement Oscar.
That's a tough one, though, because First
Reformed...
He wrote
Raging Bull and Taxi Driver.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of what that script must have looked like for First Reformed, and it's just... That's a tough one.
If Glenn Close gets a Lifetime Achievement Oscar, or maybe even Spike Lee sneaks in, then give one to Paul Schrader.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen this time.
Fine, we'll go adapted screenplay.
All right.
We'll win Black Klansman. They want to the Oscar Academy wants to give Black Klansman an Oscar, and this is the one should win. If Beale Street could talk.
Yeah, I absolutely in 100% agreement with
That's
you
crazy.
In this one that I would say Black Klansman is most likely the big winner for adapted screenplay. But if Beale Street Could Talk was a really good adaptation. Mm. So if depending on how you really weigh all of that. But in the end, I do think that this is the one that you can reward Spike Lee and give Black Klansman the adapted screenplay award. And then from there, I'm going to go to another, what I actually think is kind of tough, is the animated feature film, because there's two different schools of thought. There's two different ways this could go. I think the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is probably the favorite and should probably win, but there's still like that slim chance that Incredibles 2 could sneak in there for being that more traditional, well-received animated movie. So I am going to say Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but with a little bit of, I wouldn't be completely shocked if Incredibles 2 snuck in there.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse will win. It will win animated feature, but it shouldn't. Isle of Dogs should. Isle of Dogs by Wes Anderson, stop motion, with amazing voice work and a wonderful story about a boy trying to find his dog exiled on Trash Island, should win.
That one was different. It certainly, if there was a separate category for animated features for adults, then Isle of Dogs perhaps. But I think most people, really think about animated feature film as being something that... that manages to appeal to both the kids and the adults. And that's where Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse has the edge with just being good for both audiences, but really kind of a unique approach. And Incredibles 2 is just that big family film of the year. Best supporting actress.
Sorry, best supporting actress will win. Regina King, if Beale Street Could Talk. Should win Rachel Weisz. She's double nominated with her co-star Emma Stone, but Rachel Weisz as the lady in waiting, I think, has the heavier, deeper performance. She was just superb.
I think Regina King will win, and I also think Rachel Weisz could be that dark horse for this category. So if there was some big shocker, it wouldn't be huge, 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 because I think Rachel Weisz is sort of that second favorite, so to speak, from the favorite.
Oh, very good.
And then I guess I'm never really quite sure about things like film editing and how you define what makes
I heard a good one today.
Edit?
Can I tell you what I heard? Anne Hornaday wrote an article today about what she heard best editing should be. She heard from somebody, best editing is a film that without the editor wouldn't be a film. It just shouldn't work. And she said, for instance, Bohemian Rhapsody, they fired Bryan Singer. And the only reason that film was saved was because of the editor, was able to figure it out, put it together, and make a soar away from Live Aid.
And that's interesting because I actually give the edge to Bohemian Rhapsody. So that's my pick for what will win. Also because it just has that amazing recreated concert footage. And so I give Bohemian Rhapsody the edge for that.
Costume design. I don't care. I would say the favorite just because I want to give favorite all the awards. But this one is one that the Ballad of Buster Scruggs snuck in. It's not going to win Best Song, so give it to Buster Scruggs. Should win.
Yeah, Buster Scruggs should win.
Of course it should.
I actually think that for this one, I'm tired of all these period dramas winning Best
But those
costume
favorite
design.
Costumes were a little out there.
So, not that different. I mean, yes.
Nicholas Holt?
The makeup. But that was almost the makeup is what did it with his outfit versus the costume design. So, this is one where I think they need to shed a little, you know, show some love to Black Panther. And so, I think costume design, I think if you really think about just the visuals and the costumes, everything that brought Wakanda to life, for Black Panther is critical. So when you talk about the things that if you strip them away, you might not have as good a film, I do think that I'm going to give the edge for costume design to Black Panther, more out of a rejection of the period drama attire always winning.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then from there, the similar thing, I guess we just knock out makeup, because makeup and hairstyling and costume design sometimes go together. But in this particular case, the categories do not overlap. And so for makeup and hairstyling, you have Border, which has amazing makeup but won't win, and Mary Queen of Scots, which is too similar to The Favorite, and I don't think anybody will differentiate. And then there's Vice, where you have the transformation of Christian Bale into Dick Cheney. And that transformation is what I think will give Vice the edge in this category.
Vice will win, hands down. This is actually more sewn shut than The Shallow winning Best Song. if you want just to knock one out, Vice will, I swear to God, will win this category. But it shouldn't. I want to give it to Border. Without what they did to the two leads, and I don't want to explain what they are if you haven't seen Border. But,
at this point, I think you could go ahead and tell people.
It wouldn't work without makeup. Nothing about Border would work if it wasn't believable. And I believed that, yep, they could be trolls.
No, I agree that that one is probably, if it was people who really understand and appreciate, if you could see the before and after of these characters, Border might have an edge. But Vice is phenomenal in the embodiment of Cheney and Christian Bale for this particular movie. And so while I did not like Vice all that much, this is the one place where I could give it some love.
Visual effects. Solo: A Star Wars Story is nominated because it's a Star Wars movie. Avengers: Infinity War is nominated because it's huge. Christopher Robin, because, you know, he's acting with a bunch of characters that aren't there. What will win, though, is First Man. I believe First Man's going to take it home because they want to give it something. And, you know, Landing on the Moon looked really cool with those IMAX cameras. But I think Ready Player One should win. There's just so much detail going on in Ready Player One that it just blows my mind.
I am going to give Avengers: Infinity War the edge on this one, because for the same reason that you think First Man needs a little something, I actually think Avengers: Infinity War deserves something as well. And I liked
it
more.
The reward was the box office.
I liked Avengers: Infinity War way more than I liked First Man. Yes, the moon landing stuff is all very cool, but I didn't feel like it was all that far from what I've seen treatment-wise in other space movies, whereas Avengers Infinity War...
Wait, you can tell the difference in Avengers Infinity War from The Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron?
The visual effects at the very end...
Anybody can make dust.
Can anybody really make dust like that?
To dust, can.
But,
come on, Shmuel.
But in a way that made everybody just kind of gasp in the theater and just be... just kind of curious where that's all going to go.
That was the story making them gasp.
I think it was, but the visual effects sold the story.
And Spider-Man going, I'm not ready.
But I think when a visual effect really helps sell an out-there storyline, then that's also what these awards are supposed to be about. So again, because we need to have some things that differentiate one person from another's vote, I'm just going to, it might be a wishful thinking win, but I would give visual effects to Avengers Infinity War. And so we'll see. I think sound editing is one of the toughest also to figure out for this particular one, because when you talk about really a movie that deserved way more awards attention than it got. I think A Quiet Place falls into that category. And so I think it would be so nice for A Quiet Place to win for sound editing, because it's so crucial to that whole film. But I think Roma will, because you have sounds of lapping water for 20 minutes.
I highly disagree on this category. Will win, hands down, is First Man. First Man will win, especially when they're in that Gemini flight that just goes around and around and around because their thruster breaks and got screws popping all over the place. And his first mission when he's at Edwards Air Force Base, before he's even in NASA and bounces out the atmosphere. Sound editing is First Man's to take home. But it wouldn't be my vote. My vote, what should win, is A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Because I guess that is what it sounds like.
Exactly.
When your barefoot steps on a nail and you can't scream.
It's true. I really wish that A Quiet Place could get this. But you think First Man. I kind of think Roma.
Absolutely.
I think Roma might kind of sneak away with this one, just because to move towards cinematography, I think the cinematography of Roma might be tied in some people's minds to the sound editing. And so I think that could sneak in there. If it's one of those years where one particular film tends to sweep several categories, I think this might be one of those cases where Roma would win sound editing, but also cinematography.
Roma will sweep some awards, including cinematography. Put your money, it's easy money. Put your money on Roma to win. Mm-hmm. Cinematography, and I'm fine with that. It's a gorgeous movie.
It
won't win sound editing. No, it's ridiculous. But what should win cinematography is The Favorite. I loved some of the weird camera work that was going on. That fisheye lens, the dance sequence, her shouting out the window with that little orchestra there. It's just gorgeous cinematography.
Yeah, and so I'd be okay if I got shocked and The Favorite even won cinematography, because to me, I think Cold War cinematography was actually better than Roma.
Now, if Roma loses cinematography, it will be to Cold War.
As well it should. But I do think that that is one of those few categories that I think is a lock, would be Roma for cinematography.
Well, let's jump back to sound mixing. And when should our match on this one for me? It will be Bohemian Rhapsody. They matched Rami Malek and Freddie Mercury to sound like Freddie Mercury and the band Queen. Bohemian Rhapsody walks away with sound mixing.
Do you think? I'm not sure. I don't understand this. This is one where I just don't have a horse in the race at all. Because when I think of each of these movies, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, First Man, Roma, and A Star is Born, you could make some of that
Black Klansman is not nominated for sound mixing.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It is on my sheet.
Not on mine.
Interesting. Interesting that our sheets are different, but it's sort of irrelevant. This one, I think,
I have Black Panther on that instead of Black Klansman.
Might be. But this is one where I kind of, I think it's a toss-up, and I think we might be surprised. Again, I think Roma might sneak in there and get this one, too.
No, if anything other than Bohemian Rhapsody walks away with this, this would be one of my biggest shocks of the night.
Yeah, but very often sound editing and sound mixing end up going to the same film. So whether or not you want to split your
difference. They absolutely split this year.
And see if you can try and win one category or the other. And then we've got, do you want to run through the...
Maybe shorts.
Oh, and you know, we haven't done actor yet, which actually is the one that I think could be a really interesting category, because this is the only thing that, like, Bradley Cooper is getting, you know, is nominated for in the actor category after being sort of snubbed for director. And I just think my favorite dark horse of the night would be for Bradley Cooper to somehow take home A Star is Born over Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody. Although Malek will win. But I would love, that would be my, oh my gosh, this would be the moment. I would love to see Bradley Cooper just win for his acting and singing in A Star is Born. Plus all, and sort of to reward him for that movie as a whole. Whereas to me, Rami Malek as Freddie Prinze was more impersonation.
Freddie Prinze.
I didn't mean that. Freddie Mercury. But Rami Malek is impersonating Freddie Mercury, whereas Bradley Cooper is inventing Jackson Maine. And so that's why I would like to see him get that. Christian Bale, I think, is one for, you know, he's always transforming into whatever character he is. But Vice is just not a good enough movie to justify giving Christian Bale Best Actor.
I hate this category. I hate this guy. I would not have nominated any of the five of these men for Best Actor. None of them. What will win is Rami Malek. 60%, 65% chance he wins. There's a 25% chance Christian Bale walks away with it. He's gotten the other half of the awards this year, so I wouldn't be shocked. The dark horse is Bradley Cooper. There's a 5% chance Bradley Cooper wins. But no, my should win is Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate. He's the one I could stomach winning in this category.
Which is the one, the only one in this category and in many categories that I just have not seen and have absolutely no interest in seeing.
No, so. It was not a good movie. At Eternity's Gate was not a good movie. He played a very good Vincent Van Gogh. I enjoyed his performance. It was the only reason to watch that movie. He doesn't have a chance in hell of winning.
No.
But he gets my vote.
All right. So what was your next one?
Let's quickly do the shorts.
Yeah. That's a tough one, too.
Let's see. Live action short. This one's tough. I think it's actually between Mother and Skin. Madre and Skin. I'll lean Skin. Probably should win, too.
I'm leaning Skin as well. Skin would get my vote, although I think the dark horse in this one's Marguerite. That one could sneak in there as just an emotional pull for some of the voters for the Academy. So that would be my sort of like, okay, I'm okay with that, even though I think ultimately I would vote for Skin.
Animated short, the one I want to win, the one that should win, is One Small Step, mm-hmm. about the relationship between a daughter and her father and her dreams to become an astronaut and his ways to help her through that focus on shoes. I don't think Pixar is a lock here, so I'm actually saying we'll win. This is a nuts one that is going to be Weekends, about a son who kind of shuttles back and forth between mom and dad.
Yeah, I've heard that that's a possibility, but that would not be my pick at all either. One Small Step is my wishful thinking win, but it is hard to bet against Bao for as just your Pixar conventional choice. So I have to give... I'm giving Belle the edge in this one. Although, yeah, wouldn't it be something if One Small Step just somehow miraculously emerged in that category? But, I mean, this is it's a tough one. It's almost a toss-up.
Yeah, it'd be great if it won. Documentary short, my vote should win, should go to Period, End of Sentence, about the stigma of menstruation in India. I had no idea. What will win? Black Sheep. About a black child's attempt to blend in his white community.
I've been seeing how A Night at the Garden in all its 7-minute glory is the most appallingly contemporary piece of video out there in this category. But I would not hope it. I don't want it to, because I just think that restoring found footage is not what this category is meant to be. Black Sheep, I did not love. But so to me, Period, End of Sentence would make for the most fun acceptance speech of the night. So I would love to see that one. I would love to see that one win. Period, End of Sentence.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, let's look at production. I think production design is a very hard category to pick, because I can see arguments for Black Panther. Production design made that film. I love The Favorite. I love First Man. And Roma has production design going for it, too. Should win. Yeah, First Man will win. This is just a toss-up. If they really want to give Black Panther an Oscar, it's going to be here.
I also think it's a toss-up, but I would go with Black Panther, because production design, Wakanda. What more can you say? You know, that they created a world that people absolutely loved. And so when considering it probably won't win Best Picture, I definitely would give Wakanda the edge for production design.
All right. Well, I think that's it.
Well, Best Picture?
No, we haven't, because we've been... Of course you do Best Picture last. Everyone's tired. It's after 11 o'clock. The Oscars are running long. This is tough. This is a horse race. Mm-hmm. It is... I'm going to start with my should win. The Favorite It's not my favorite movie of the year. It's in my top five. I think it's like number five of the year. But out of everything on this list, easily my favorite. Love the film, and I would love to see it walk away, but I don't think it will, because this is not the BAFTAs. This is the Oscars. Therefore, this is a horse race between Green Book and Roma. One of them will win. I won't be shocked when it's either or. I'm going to put my money on Roma. I really think this is the first foreign film ever that's going to walk away with Best Picture. Roma's got the hot hand.
Roma has the hot hand, but I'm going to go with Green Book because it was my number one pick for the year. Top of my list. Roma wasn't in my top 10. So for this one, I'm going to go with my heart and just pray that Green Book doesn't suffer the fate of La La Land and that that Green Book takes away Best Picture.
There's a 49% chance Green Book wins.
I am hoping that percentage just goes in my favor because I'm tired of losing in the last 30 seconds of a 3-hour-plus long telecast.
There are a lot of people actively rooting against Green Book for various reasons. So if Green Book ends up winning, Twitter's going to explode.
I know, but then there's beauty in that too. So we'll see, and I'm going to be really interested in how this all plays out with the so-called hostless Academy Awards. There are rumors and conspiracy theories that some sort of host or multiple hosts will emerge, and then there's also you had an issue with Queen playing for potentially 10 minutes.
their theme this year is make it short, cut it down, and then they give 10 minutes to Queen.
I think what's going to happen is that Queen will they're opening the show with Queen.
That's time. That counts.
No, but I think it will get the energy up, and I'm hoping that there will be some way that the best pictures or all these films are integrated into that opening number. And then the timing makes sense for that. If there is a way in which the music is bridging the films, then it will work and it will get everybody on their feet and start kick this thing off with hopefully a high energy kind of thing. And I think it's totally possible. And any good producer worth their salt can make this come in at exactly 3 hours. And so I am going to go out on a limb and make a prediction that this show will end at 3 hours.
Yeah, it very well could. I have a feeling that this year's Oscars telecast is going to be a dumpster fire. Too many things have said, this is what we're going to do, and then reversed because of just popular pressure. An absolute dumpster fire.
But they reversed everything that they had to reverse. And so if they hadn't reversed it...
Usually they have nothing to reverse.
Well, but I really think it was calculated. And so I am going with a theory, conspiracy though it may be, that this was all sort of a publicity stunt in a way to get people to watch out of curiosity and to see what works. And so they're throwing a bunch of things out there to see what does work. And with these award shows and with acceptance speeches, there's wild card elements that you just can't predict. And so all we can do is hope that there is some wild card moment that just is memorable enough to just make this not a dumpster fire.
The producers have set up a situation where there are going to be multiple acceptance speeches that mock the producers. So when you do that, it's not going to, you're not setting yourself up for success. I have one agree or disagree.
Mm-hmm.
The Independent Spirit Awards are the day before the Oscars. They're Saturday, February 23rd, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard, hosted by Aubrey Plaza on the IFC channel.
Uh-huh.
The Independent Spirit Awards are my second favorite award show. It's even better than the Golden Globes. It's better than SAG. It's better than Critics' Choice. It's better than BAFTA. Because listen to the five films nominated for Best Feature: Eighth Grade, First Reformed, If Beale Street Could Talk, Leave No Trace, and You Were Never Really Here. Doesn't that sound like an award show you want to pay attention to?
That sounds like an Independent Spirit award show that a Charlie would absolutely want to see. but that 90% of the viewing public would not.
Oh, you're crazy. There, it's on Santa Monica. You know, it's out there in a hangar right there on the beach on the pier, and they're just hanging out.
Well, it's that, but that's if Independent Spirit Award suddenly became the go-to award show, it would lose what makes it unique. And so I just think that that's why, yes, Independent Spirit Awards, you need some kind of way to recognize those smaller films just in case they get ignored by these bigger awards bodies. But I think the Independent Spirit Awards are always really good for steering people who really like independent film to good choices, especially on Netflix and things like that. So I'll be curious, and it would be really great if Eighth Grade wins the Independent Spirit Award. Then I think that will provide like a little extra boost of vindication that movie probably should have made its way into the Academy nominations.
Sounded like you're agreeing. I don't know.
I'm agreeing with part of it, but I'm not sure you actually had an agree or disagree. I think it was like, I'm not agreeing that it's
the better
award
show. Do you
agree that it's the
second best award show of the year?
Second to the Oscars?
Yes.
Who
would you rather watch? The Golden Globes and the
Grammys.
Independent Spirit? The Grammys. Oh.
No, I don't know. I think it's the Critics' Choice Awards are just kind of that fun watch. Because so many people we know are always in the audience. So Independent Spirit, no, it's actually one of those award shows that I'm perfectly content to just read the final results about and not necessarily have to watch a presentation. And I'm not a huge fan of Aubrey Plaza. Sorry.
Hey, she said it, folks, not me. Hate mail goes to Hannah. All right. Do you have any?
No, I think my only one would be agree or disagree, the Oscars won't be as bad as you think.
Disagree. They're going to be even worse than I think.
And I'm going to say I just think that you're wrong. I think they're going to be a pleasant surprise and that we'll be discussing a very – that somehow we'll be talking more about the pacing and the hosting and any of the surprises next week, potentially even more than the awards themselves.
Probably we are nowhere on the wrong track when we're not expecting to be talking about the films, what we should be celebrating in the first place.
I think we'll be talking about me crying over the Best Picture winner. But
possibly. All right, quick recap. How to Train Your Dragon 3, The Hidden World. Yeah, it'll get the job done.
Yeah, and I think we just wanted to point out, too, that the other big movie out there this week that people are buzzing about a little bit, if they're fans of WWF, is Fighting With My Family, based on a true story of this girl fighter. I heard it's pretty good, but we had majorly inclement weather. And so while I heard that on one hand, it's very good, on the other hand, I heard... but it's not good enough to risk your life going to the screening. So therefore, we did not see that one.
Yeah, there's a bunch of snow on the road. No, thank you. And yeah, we'll talk. I'll see you after the Oscars.
That's right. See you then.
All right. Well, on behalf of the Cinema Clash, thank you for listening. I am Charlie Jewell.
I'm Hannah Buchdahl. Bye. Take care.
Cinema Clash with Charlie and Hannah is presented twice each weekend on RadioSt.Pete.com at 5:15 Eastern on Saturday and 9:15 on Sunday mornings. Cinema Clash with Charlie Jewell of CharlieJewell.com and Hannah Buchdahl of ChickFlix.net. Listen again for Cinema Clash on RadioSt.Pete.com.